listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, January 16th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, everyone. Glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly here as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. And I'd like to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief, as is customary to kind of set the stage. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And to read the expanded form of these 9 principles, please visit our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome everybody tonight. Welcome to those who are joining us for the first time. Welcome to those who are listening to the archive. We appreciate your time. Glad you could be with us tonight. The topic for this evening is the journey to self-actualization. And we're going to really call self-actualization self-completeness, because that's what we teach in our programs, in our schools. But it's the same thing, pretty much. We just call it self-completeness. It's being complete within yourself. So the journey to self-actualization or the journey to self-completeness, same thing. And you're probably, well, people probably have some idea of what it means, but we're going to discuss that and talk about exactly what that means. So, in terms of self-completeness, if you are a student or past student or familiar with our teachings, you realize that we teach the life leadership paragon. In fact, everything we teach is based on the life leadership paragon. The word paragon simply means model of excellence. So the life leadership paragon is simply a model. It's a powerful model for basically caring about anything that ails you, you know, spiritually. And so it's comprised of 3 traits or attributes that create, synergistically create a 4th one. The first 3 are self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. And these 3 create self-completeness as the 4th. And that's where it's at. So let's talk about these briefly, and then we'll get into a little bit more on the self-completeness thing. So, the idea behind the life leadership paragon is to get to self-completeness, to be complete within yourself. So how do you do that? Well, the short answer is that you bring into balance the other 3 skill sets or attributes: self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. Self-acceptance simply means you accept yourself just like you are, warts and all. You are perfect just the way you are. Doesn't mean that we don't make mistakes. Doesn't mean we don't get better every day. We just accept ourselves as we are right now, right here. And it's part of self-esteem. We don't have them esteem, meaning we have internal validation and expectations. Them esteem is simply external expectations and validation. In other words, them esteem is we don't feel good about ourselves unless we're doing what other people think we should do. Whereas self-esteem is internal. We are good enough just the way we are. So self-acceptance, we bring that into balance. We embrace ourselves for who we are. The next one, self-responsibility, simply means we take responsibility for our actions. We understand that we are where we are because of the decisions, the choices we've made in the past. We also understand that we are completely accountable for the choices and decisions that we've made in the past. We also understand that we don't expect other people to do things for us, and we don't do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. Doesn't mean you can't do a nice. It just means that we don't practice doing things for the people that they ought to be doing for themselves. So that's self-responsibility. The third one is respect for free will. And the biggest part of this is the law of control. And that simply says, you can't change people. You can't control people. Stop trying. And that means not giving unsolicited advice. So that's the three basic traits: self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. When we bring those into balance, they create self-completeness, which simply means standing on your own two feet, knowing who you are and why you are who you are, and being enough within, not looking outside of yourself for something to complete you. And that's where I want to kind of focus on tonight, is the self-completeness step, and explore it just a little bit. If you've gone through our program, or you've probably even studied this in the past at college or wherever, is Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you're familiar with that, in a nutshell, it basically, it's the idea that if you're starving to death, it's really difficult to concentrate on putting an addition on your house, right? In other words, certain base needs have to happen first before you can move on to other needs. Like the old expression, right? When you're up to your rear end in alligators, it's difficult to remember that the initial objective was to drain the swamp, type of thing. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs means that you got to take care of certain base needs before you can go any higher. That's food, shelter, clothing, and then there's the self-acceptance, there's the internal things. But at the top of that pyramid, Maslow's pyramid, is self-actualization, which we call self-completeness. So what does that look like? And Dr. Hunter, Michael, if you have anything to add, just interrupt me and jump in there. But let me, in fact, if you do, I'll just pause for a moment before I continue. Anybody have anything to offer at this point?
All good here.
Okay. All right, so let's talk about what self-actualization or self-completeness looks like. One of the traits of it is that people with who are self-complete possess self-acceptance and a democratic worldview. Notice that they possess self-acceptance and a democratic worldview as opposed to a dictatorship. In other words, they're not trying to control people. They're not trying to change people. They accept themselves for who they are. They accept people, other people, without judgment and so on. You know, they are able to enjoy themselves and live their lives free of guilt. You know, that's another big part of it. Another aspect of self-complete people is they're realistic. You know, they have a sense of realism. They don't give in to undue fear of the unknown or things that are different from themselves. You know, a lot of people, that's where racism comes into play. People hate other people because they're afraid of them in some way. They're afraid of what they mean, you know. So people who are self-complete are not racist. They don't give in to fear. They're reasonable. They're down to earth. They have their feet on the ground. They're logical in that way. Another aspect of self-complete people is they tend to be problem solvers or solution finders, however you would like to put it. They enjoy solving real-world problems, and we certainly have a lot of problems in our real world, don't we, that need solutions. And that's what self-complete people do. They look to help solve problems, and they often help people do that in some way. They're also autonomous. That simply means they're independent. They don't necessarily conform to other people's ideas of happiness or contentment. They live in the moment, and they appreciate the beauty of such experiences, and they love fast cars. That was a joke, because somebody in the background has one. All right.
They're simply emphasizing the point.
Yeah. So they're autonomous. They're independent. They can be by themselves. They can be alone without being lonely. Doesn't mean they don't enjoy being around people and so forth. But again, they don't need, quote unquote, somebody else to complete them. And along with this, they enjoy solitude and privacy. They need their downtime. They need their alone time. And there's nothing wrong with that. Some other aspects is that they have good sense of humor, philosophical sense of humor at times, and can see the humor in situations. In fact, they can laugh at themselves. They don't take themselves too seriously. Self-complete people can also be spontaneous, you know, and open, unconventional, spontaneous. They don't necessarily need to follow generally accepted social expectations. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily wild, but they're open-minded, I guess I should say. And they enjoy the journey, not just the destination. They understand that most of this is a journey and not just a destination. And that's another crucial point of self-actualization or self-completeness. People can say, well, it's like enlightenment. You know, do you ever achieve that? You know, are you ever self-complete, complete within yourself? Well, yeah, you can do that to a reasonable degree. Does that mean that we stop growing? No, it's not what that means. But you can achieve a reasonable degree of self-actualization, self-completeness, enlightenment, while still growing and evolving and learning even more. Any comments? No.
I would just...
Go ahead.
I really agree with the overall points, and you know, I think humor is an excellent point on that. The ability to really laugh at yourself in your own situation is indicative of that higher awareness of your own place in the world and realizing, you know, and seeing it in context. I just really appreciated that point too.
Good. So now that I've kind of given an overview of what self-completeness or self-actualization is, you know, how do you get there? And you can ask yourself, you know, how close to that are you? You can ask that of yourself. How close am I to the self-completeness, self-actualization? You may feel that you're pretty close to that, and that's great. Good. You know, keep moving. But here's how you can speed things up perhaps a little bit. It goes back to the life leadership paragon. Self-acceptance is the first one. You've got to accept yourself. You take your power back. In fact, one of the great and powerful aspects of the life leadership paragon is that when you balance it out, your life improves. So if you look at self-acceptance and you start appreciating yourself, you stop putting yourself down, you accept yourself for who you are, you realize you're human and that it's okay to make mistakes as long as you learn from them, that you don't carry the guilt and all that, because there's no value in guilt. You know, you learn from your mistakes. We all make them. That's just who we are. It's inherent to the human condition. There's no way around it. So you might as well embrace it. You know, that's how we learn. So embrace it. And you accept yourself. That means you have a good, healthy self-concept. And you take your power back that way. You stop allowing other people to make you feel bad about yourself, because they're people who will try to do that. Don't let them. It's entirely in your hand. You don't have to let them make you feel bad about yourself. It's like the whole ball scenario that I've talked about other times. You know, when somebody tosses a ball at us, it's instinctive to catch that ball. Well, that ball might represent a negative or a put down or something like that. We don't have to catch that, because when we catch it, we take ownership of it. So don't catch that ball. Just let it bounce off. You don't have to catch it. Even though it might be instinctive in the beginning to catch that ball, you can learn to stop catching and just let it bounce off, because it's not going to do any harm if you just let it bounce off. So you have to bring that. That's the first step, self-acceptance. You have to accept yourself. And I know it's hard for some people to do it because they've had a life of being put down by their parents or whoever. They might not feel that they fit society's definition of the right body style or whatever. You know, they might have something about themselves that they don't like. You know, everybody's got something they'd like to improve on. It doesn't devalue your worth as a human being. You know, regardless of whether you're tall, short, thin, fat, skinny, you know, we all have things we want to work on, but that doesn't have anything to do with our value as a human being, does it? The answer is no. So we want to accept ourselves and appreciate ourselves. The odds of you being alive are astronomically high. Astronomic for any of us to be here are astronomically high, beyond belief high. And so, you know, talk about winning the lottery, we did, just by being here. So that's that. The next one you want to work on, so you're working on your self-acceptance, self-esteem. The next one you want to work on is respect for free will. Stop trying to control people. Stop trying to change people. Don't give unsolicited advice. If you're a parent with adult children, stop giving unsolicited advice. It's their life. You had your chance. Stop telling them what to do. Stop offering that unsolicited advice. Not your job anymore. They're adults. They're on equal footing with you now. So you let them live their lives. And if they ask for your help, then fine. Give them your advice if they ask for it. All right. So that's the next one. Somebody's Skyping me. The odds of us being here are really high. I mean, it's like the lottery. The odds of winning the lottery are extremely high, right? Or, you know, Michael's telling me is it Michael? Yeah. You get the point I'm trying to make. Whether it's high or low, I don't know right now. But the odds of us being here are remarkable. So let's leave it at that. Back to respect for free will. Don't tell people what to do. You know, if people would just stop doing that one thing in relationships, their relationships would improve immediately. Don't tell them what to do. Don't tell them what to wear. Don't tell them what to eat. Don't tell people what to do. Just don't do that. So when you start respecting that law of control, you can control you. You can change you. You can't do anybody else. When you respect that, when you follow that, now respect for free will becomes balanced. And guess what? The third one, self-responsibility, that kind of falls into place. Because think about it. If you accept yourself for who you are, warts and all, you understand that you're perfect just the way you are. When you accept yourself, you're taking proper responsibility for you. Right? When you stop giving unsolicited advice, when you stop trying to change and control other people, you are no longer assuming responsibility for them, which is not healthy. You can't assume responsibility for another adult. So now that's back into balance. So guess what? Self-responsibility falls into place. And then these three traits almost magically create self-completeness. Now you're standing on your own two feet. You know who you are and why you are who you are. You don't need other people to complete you. You are good just with yourself. You're good for who you are. Does that make sense? I hope so, because that's the way it works. And this is a powerful system too, folks. All right. Any comments?
Well, I would think that the reason we would get a blockage to follow any of those basic principles is loss. The fear of loss. The fear of finding a truth you didn't want to see. You know, it's like, for instance, if you don't tell somebody what to do, it means you accept them for who they are, and you might not like that. See? And so that's the fear. So as long as somebody keeps engaging, then they don't have to look at something truthful that they don't like. And I know we could talk cognitive dissonance, you know, denial with secondary gains, but it's really sometimes people aren't ready to see the truth of where they are for fear of losing. And I think this is, I mean, honestly, I think a lot of the time racism isn't just about not liking somebody for the color of their skin. They're afraid of losing the privilege they feel they have. So it's this fear of loss. And very often, I think in my work, I found that people like to win. So in our society, we're culturally built with this competitiveness and that competition and that the hinge of competition has us look at things that are more in the facade, not in what's real. And we take it into our, even our personal lives of competing. People compete for pain. People compete for who's suffering more, who has less and who has more. And, and even competing about, well, I don't like the way he eats. He doesn't like the way I eat. Well, then I don't know why you're together. But that's an observer's point of view. To reach that point of what we call self-actualization is just being comfortable. And I think that over time, and holy cow for age, we can see things a little bit differently. But it requires a certain amount of objectivity. So you have to be really comfortable in who you are and know what, and I think this goes to another principle of, you know, principle versus preference. So it's my preference that they don't eat like that, but it's not a principle. Do you know? And if somebody's not roughing down food and, you know, drooling at the mouth, I guess they're okay. You know what I'm saying? So that preference versus principle, and to check in with ourselves. So these, sometimes it's tiny little steps to see things more truthfully about what we like, what we don't like, what's right, what's wrong, and who we are, and being really honest. You know, I have had a lot of people at my table over the years, and one of the really most outrageous things is both people fall in love, they're dating for a year, they want to get married, and somebody says, well, I want a baby, and the other one says, I don't want a baby. Oh, well, that's a dilemma, you see? And so somebody's trying to impose one's want over the other in order to stay together. Well, we all know what happens in 5 or 10 years. There's resentment. And so it's very hard in those situations to say, I need to give up this love to go seek out another love. Because the love you found is comfortable. Otherwise, there's just this one thing. But in principle, that's really important. So if there's something simple like, I'd rather live in an apartment than a townhouse, that's really preference. But if you're somebody who likes to live in the country and don't like the city, then that hits closer to home. So I think a lot of people try to compete to change themselves as well as other people in order to adapt. And it hinges on this fear of losing what you have because you feel like that's all you're going to get. So you do everything you can to make that work. Well, you're going to be really far from feeling self-complete. That's the unfortunate thing. And that's just the kind of the way it goes. So the closer you can be to yourself and knowing what you require, some can just be dating and having a good time, but no, you're not going to invest into marriage. You know, so you kind of get those rules set in your head for yourself.
Good points, you know, and just to sum this up, folks, you know, the journey to self-actualization, to self-completeness, yeah, it's a journey. We don't we're not going to fully get there at any point, but we can get most of the way there and enjoy that process and enjoy being there. And what it means is to be who you are. Remember, do no harm, do right. Be who you are. Nobody is more worthy of your best behavior than you. So regardless of what the world's doing, regardless what your friends are doing, regardless of what anybody else is doing, stick to your core values. Hold true and fast to your own healthy self-concept, your healthy beliefs, the healthy notion of doing no harm and doing right, you know, be that pillar, be that role model, be that example of a refined and enlightened human being that others will want to follow, because we need more of you on this planet. We need a lot more of you. We need people to stand tall, to stand strong for what's right and what's true, and have integrity in that process, to be who they are, because that's who they are. They're not just a certain way around other people, but they are who they are, whether they're in front of people or not in front of people. That's self-actualization. That's happiness, and that's and continuing to grow from there. All right, if anybody would like a card pulled from our inner oracle card deck, please.
We have people. We have people already.
I think Elle is our first one, but let me explain what the cards are for those of who are joining us who are new. The Inner Oracle Self-Discovery cards are simply a deck of, 54 cards and several suits that basically teach the principles of the church and the schools in little nugget forms. And they're designed to get you thinking. That's what they are. So who we'll start with, I suppose, Michael. Elle.
Michael, would you like to pull one for Elle?
Of course. And I pulled number 20, Deliberate Intent. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets in motion, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is you desire. It's not magic, it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
I like it. So, Cecilia, number 21 is yours tonight, Insight Wisdom. Wisdom is the successful application of knowledge using experience and understanding. Insight is discernment and seeing the underlying truth. Now, we were talking about that earlier. This may be a time to look deep into your inner character and underlying truth to understand motives and reasons. Insight, wisdom, and acceptance of the true nature of a present situation or individual is necessary to gain a deeper understanding as well as to discover potential solutions. So again, just that little bit of insight and you kind of can start to get ideas for solutions. It's a good one. So we have Jennifer next. Michael, if you will.
All right. And for Jennifer, I pulled number 4, Past, Present, Future. The three universal laws of personal responsibility are: 1. You are accountable for your past, present, and future. 2. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and should do for yourself. 3. Don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor.
Good message.
Absolutely impacts.
Yeah.
On what we've been talking about.
Kind of love it.
Dr. Edward, I got number 32 for you, Sympathy and Empathy. Mercy is compassion in action and fulfills the kind of act of paying it forward. Sympathy, which is sensitivity toward another's plight, and empathy, which is relating to another's plight, each requires a need, compassion, and action to fulfill a soul's need to explore, investigate, and educate. Always extend the benefit of doubt until there's no longer a reason to do so. And sometimes that message is just helping you to make a distinction of when to act, when to not act, and reach deep inside yourself about how you want to participate. So that's how I interpret that for you. So Wendy is next, Michael.
All right, and for Wendy, I pulled number 35,
One planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny.
Love it.
Very relevant. Divine energy lives in all things. Diversity in nature and among humanity is not an evolutionary mistake. It is an evolutionary constant. This card advocates equality, peace, unity, healthy life skills, higher consciousness, and spiritual enlightenment. It is critical for our spiritual evolution that we display tolerance and equality towards others as well as ourselves. Remember, you are of divine energy.
I really like that saying, your divine energy, your spirit in a body. I really, it's a nice little tug at your heart, isn't it?
It is.
Fran, I have number 4 for you, past, present, future. The 3 universal laws of personal accountability are: you're accountable for your past, present, future. Don't expect others to do for you what you can and do, should do for yourself. And don't do for others what they can and should do for themselves. Remember, present circumstances reflect past choices. Embrace responsibility and move forward with renewed vigor. Now, I think there's a lot of things in there, Fran, that you obviously already know. But sometimes we just need that little reminder. And that's what this program's about, too. Sometimes there's little reminders for things we already know. So that one is for you. Now, I know also, just to insert here, Fran did pick a card for the room tonight. And it's number 5 in the wild card suit. And I know we don't really need to talk about it, but it's saying don't hate. So I think just simply that kind of message goes against your self-actualization. You know, it's if you have, you know, we can dislike a lot of things, we can not approve of a lot of things for ourselves, but to hate it actually is a really bad boomerang, because the only one you're hurting is yourself to harbor any kind of negative, you know, like Geico always called them, those negative boxes in yourself. So that's just a really good message in keeping with our topic tonight. So we have a number that popped up. Somebody didn't sign in with their name. 537207. Michael.
I think we have Jennifer
is next.
Okay. Well, I missed. Yeah. I had this number after Fran. So go ahead, Michael.
Oh, no problem. Jennifer, I pulled number 26, energy signature. This card is a call to be aware of energy signatures, which is the vibe a person puts out or the energy of a situation. Energy signatures are changed by increased awareness resulting from gaining more knowledge and wisdom of self. Review the present energy signature that you may be sending, or that of a situation, individual, or relationship. Keep what is healthy, remove what is unhealthy. Remember, you cannot change others, you can only change yourself and your own energy signature. Always excellent advice.
Good advice. So I'm not sure where we are, because after the number, which Dr. Andrew's saying that could be Gene, but I'm kind of confused now.
I think Gene was a different number, but I think I have. Well, go ahead.
I have Helen. Dr. Angie next. So.
No, Helen is next. We did Wendy, then Fran, Jennifer, Helen, and then the number.
Oh.
So let's do Helen next.
Helen, I have for you. Let me look here. Number 2 in the Life Leadership Paragon. I think we're back to that again, are we? Great esteem and validation. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with em-esteem. Now remember, that's self-worth based on external expectations. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path. So that's your own self-certainty in my language. So that was for you.
Good.
Helen. Okay.
That's a good card.
Who's next, Michael?
All right. I'm going to call you 207 for short. But
good.
I pulled you number 30, Greatness to Deliver.
That's a good one.
Absolutely. And absolutely a part of really self-completeness is your greatness to deliver. But every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with a question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Good one. Good. I guess that's Julian Clark.
Yeah.
He's just
in Spain, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. You know, I just something that struck me as you were talking, Michael, that word mediocre, that mediocrity. If you ask, if people who are listening, I'm just saying kind of my thoughts out loud here. If you think that what you're doing is mediocre, it's a reflection of how you're feeling in the moment. And that's just a little moment to tap into yourself and saying, why am I doing something that's just mediocre? Because it's like with the fullness of heart. So, I mean, there's always a task at hand that we don't appreciate, or there's always a task that we're not sure of. You know, we don't care for. But to do it in the moment, to be here and now with the fullest, it lessens that mediocre. And I think mediocre is another one of those little hindrances towards self-actualization.
Good, good points.
Now
it's Dr. Angie.
Hi, Dr. Angie. I have number 17 for you, reinvention. Nothing's more important or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal. That, in turn, is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they're healthy. Answer the questions. What do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented? And just a little heads up, everybody, we do that all the time. So this is just that little tug for Dr. Angie. And, hey, a reminder, transformation's at hand.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's the power of these cards that we see basically every week. I mean, think about it. Tonight we were talking about the journey to self-actualization or self-completeness. We talked about self-esteem and personal responsibility and control and all that. And if you look at the cards, it's amazing how many of them directly relate to that overall theme. It's like there's this thread of consciousness that permeates these programs. When you get like minds together and you see these things just the thread interwoven throughout all these different cards, you know, it's really amazing. The past, present, future card, which we pulled twice, you know, was called twice, and the different, laws of, you know, you don't do things for other people they could and should do for themselves. You don't expect others to do your stuff, and on and on. And we talked about, you know, the energy signatures and the reinvention and esteem and validation and the greatness to deliver, which is a natural result of being complete within yourself. It's really amazing how these things work. So hopefully, I think we got everybody, didn't we, for the cards?
As far as I can see.
Yeah, I believe so.
All right. So we appreciate everybody's time tonight. It's hopefully you learned a thing or two, or reminded of a thing or two, or encouraged and upbuilt. And that's the point of this program, is to empower the human spirit. There can be a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fearful things going on in the world. But remember, like I've said 100 times, like Plato said, you know, nothing in the affairs of men is worth worrying about. Just be you. Live your life. Keep on going. Don't give in to any kind of irrational fears, and you know, just be you and set a good example for those around you. Stand on your own 2 feet. Be complete within yourself. Deliver your greatness every day. It can be anything from a smile to holding the door for somebody to helping somebody out in need. You know, be that force for good. Be that solution to the problems that we see. And if we do that, folks, if enough of us do that, guess what? The whole energy of this planet changes. And the things that cause fear tend to go away. And they will in time go away. But we have to continue to set that example. So hopefully that's encouraged you to do just that. And I know many of you are, if not all of you. So we appreciate your time. Thanks to those listening live. Thanks to those listening to the archive. Thanks to Dr. Hunter, as always, and Michael Kelly. We appreciate you both. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.